You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora whānau, you're on the BFM Breakfast Show. We're about to listen to a brand new track from Anna Coddington's brand new record. It's called Dive, and then we will be chatting to Anna and also Shona about the Auckland Arts Festival, which is happening next year. This is a brand new track from Anna Coddington called Dive. It's from her wonderful new record, Beams, which just came out on Friday. And we have got Anna Coddington in the studio. Kia ora, how are you?
Kia ora, good, thank you.
And we're not alone. We've also got Shona McCullough in the studio. Kia ora, Shona, how are you?
I'm very well. Nice to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you both up in here because we are talking about the Auckland Arts Festival, which is kicking off next year, once again, despite all the weirdness of the world, which is very exciting to hear. And Anna, you're going to be performing at
it. I am. I'm so excited.
It's so lovely to be able to see just this beautiful program full of incredible shows that we can look forward to. Shona, you have put together this festival, and it looks like a labour of love, but also a very exciting project to have undertaken. How are you feeling about it?
I'm totally stoked. You know, what a privilege my role is to basically give araha to artists, and being, you know, coming from an artistic background myself as a dancer and filmmaker and writer, it's the dream job, really. And coming into it, you know, lots of people have gone, oh, you know, it must be so hard, and I've gone, actually, it's been a gift. COVID has been an absolute gift, because one of the things I really wanted to do at the festival was help elevate New Zealanders' attitudes to artists from Aotearoa, you know, for someone who's toured a lot internationally. you know, and you're filling houses, huge opera houses all over the world, and you come home and sometimes it's a struggle to get audiences to attend New Zealand work here. So this has just been, as I say, an absolute gift. So I'm just totally excited about the cornucopia of New Zealand work that we've got on offer.
Very, it is very much that. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit there. There is this kind of weird, that tall poppy thing that we have in New Zealand of...
Yeah.
We don't know how to support our own sometimes when it comes to these big scale things.
Until someone from overseas points at them and goes, this is great.
Yeah.
And then everyone in New Zealand goes, oh, yeah, that's great.
We always
great.
Knew. Yeah.
Yeah, we love that.
I actually went to school with them, just so you know.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a bit sort of a complacency that, oh, I can see them anytime, you know, so I'll prioritise the international artists. But actually, this is it, guys. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that complacency has gone out the window. But now, when there are no international artists coming through, I feel like a lot of us local artists are really benefiting from that in such a great way. I mean, Reb Fountain just sold out three nights at the Mercury Theatre, and it was such an amazing show. And, you know, things, I mean, perhaps she would have done it in any other time as well, but to do it in this crazy time is, you know, and that kind of thing's happening all over the shop, so it's great.
Yeah, there's a little bit of extra magic to it when you're sort of like, we are going out tonight and we are going to watch something live, and it's, you know, one of the few places in the world where we can do that at the moment.
It's a privilege. And you really feel it in the room as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really interested to hear a little bit, Shona, about what was going on when you put this together. Maybe we should start by talking about some of the highlights. I guess it must be quite hard to pick because there are an incredible amount of performances happening here. But what are some of the things you are really excited about presenting?
Other than my show.
Other than Anna, of course.
We'll get to that. I think I'm really excited about the Civic Club. So people that have been to the festival before will know that often it's been in the Spiegel tent in the square. And I really wanted to make a bit of a shift when I started. And because there are no international acts coming through, beautiful Auckland Live, love them. We proposed to them that we'd put the club on the stage of the Civic Theatre and the audience could be on that stage, and we're building a stage out over the auditorium.
Oh, amazing.
So it's just going to be heaving and pumping and still in quite an intimate space, so you get the perspective of looking out to that gorgeous auditorium. Mm. I love that theatre. You know, we nearly lost that theatre in Auckland. I've been involved in several, the creation of some theatres like Watershed, but also have seen the destruction of theatres like His Majesty's and Queen Street back in the day.
And you learn what it means when you lose a space
totally.
Like that. Yeah.
It's so hard to create spaces and it's so easy to lose them. So that's something I'm really excited about. I mean, Rhea Hall is doing our opening concert, and I'm a huge fan of her, and she's put together this amazing set list of it's an Aotearoa love story, and she selected songs written by Shehard and Dave Dobbin and Split Ends, just absolutely beautiful. So I'm really stoked about that. I think works like Taonga Moana from Voices New Zealand with Sarah Brodie directing, and it's a very, very rich audio-visual show that is basically tracks the journey of the Godwit from the Arctic to Antarctica, and featuring Warren Maxwell, but also composers from Finland, Canada, all over the place.
So amazing.
There's just so much. We also, I mean, theatre, one of the things I wanted to do was also just really celebrate joy. You know, it's been a tough 2020, let's face it.
It truly has, yeah.
Yeah, so my old mate... Michael Hurst, who I've worked a lot with in theatre. So he's just one of the most insanely enthusiastic thespians I've ever met in my whole life. And he's got the joie de vivre, and he really understands gags and jokes. And so he's putting on Jack and the Beanstalk, which will feature a whole lineup of fellow thespians, so I'm super excited about that. Something everyone can go to and have a laugh.
That's awesome. And I think that's one thing I've always loved about the Arts Festival, is that you do get genuinely something for everybody, because you're touching on so many different kinds of creative practice and so many different audiences as well. It is a really joyful time of the year, and I think a lot of people have kind of like we were talking about with knowing it's exciting to be able to go out and see shows, but people have missed that thing of being able to go to things you wouldn't necessarily go to.
Yeah, totally.
Otherwise, yeah. How are you feeling about your show, Anna? Because you have just put out this wonderful new record, Beams.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've got an amazing band lined up. So the record was produced by Lips, which is Steph Brown and Fen Eichner, and they're in the band, as well as Mike Hall on the bass and Joel Mulholland on guitar. And we just did our first performance the other night. We did a live stream.
Oh, cool.
Played through the whole album.
Very 2020.
And it was very 2020. but it felt amazing. Like, it was just, everyone was really in the songs and really feeling it. And some of the kaupapa in this album is quite heavy, but actually the music itself is quite joyous.
Yeah.
It was quite a lovely experience to perform with them, and I think doing it in front of a live audience is going to be great. And Greta Menzies, who did the album artwork as well as my single artwork before that, I just love her work, and we really wanted her to be involved. So is going to be.
That's exciting.
Yeah, she'll be doing some. We're still workshopping how it will work exactly, but it's possibly going to involve some live painting from
that's
her.
That's very exciting.
So that's really exciting. I'm going to FaceTime her later and talk about that. But yeah, so I was quite deliberate in the collaboration I did around this album.
Yeah.
I asked Steph to produce it because she's a mum. I asked Greta to do the art because she's a mum, and I just felt like a lot of these songs I'd written about this unique experience that if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to really get that perspective on it. I mean, there's other ways to interpret the songs as well for other people. But yeah, they just really got it and really gave themselves to the project. And it was amazing to work with them. It just made me feel so supported, you know, like, and because in some ways I'm exposing myself with this record in some ways, so it could easily feel awkward, but it feels really nice.
I think that is something that I was loving listening to this record over the weekend, and I think that was something I was really struck by. There is an incredible amount of vulnerability in this record, but it is a very strong album.
Like, thank you.
Never does the vulnerability feel like weakness. It's like an absolute strength of the record.
Yeah, it is, and it was a deliberate thing. I think I love songwriting. I love songwriting in all different guises, and I do it for lots of different reasons and projects. But when it came to making another record of my own, I just couldn't fathom a purpose in doing it other than to say what I wanted to say, if that makes sense. So I it was kind of a deliberate thing in my mind as I was writing. I was like, be direct.
Yeah.
Say what you want to say. Don't shroud it in metaphor or whatever. I mean, use metaphors. They're great. But, you know, like, don't shroud it. Try to be direct, because I've seen some of my friends doing it, like I really love some of Tammy Nielsen's writing, because, you know, when she just says what she's trying to say.
Totally.
She's like, get out of my business, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I love that directness. So, that's what I was tapping into there.
We're going to listen to Night Class in a minute, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about this track, because it's one of the ones where, lyrically, I just got hooked immediately, and I was like, wow, there is a lot going on here.
Happy birthday, babe. Here's a hand over your mouth.
Yeah, hard out. So what's this track about?
This track is inspired by my journey. Learning to speak Te Reo Māori as a Māori in New Zealand, the only country in the world where people speak Māori. I wanted to write it because it's not just my experience. It is most Māori of my generation, I would say, our experience. And it's a pretty big kaupapa. It's hard to condense into a short conversation, but I think the song touches on most of it. It's intergenerational language trauma.
Yeah.
So our grandparents' generation were native Māori speakers. They were punished for it at school. Mm. They brought our parents up without the reo, and so you get to our generation and it was just completely cut off at the knees almost, you know.
Yeah.
It's still an endangered language. And so I feel like for my generation, we have this quite heavy responsibility to either grab onto it and choose to hold it and put our kids through kōhanga reo and kura Māori, which is what I'm doing, and a lot of friends from my night classes are doing that as well.
Yeah,
And in some ways I feel like we have this choice to either do that and just jump in the waka and paddle for our lives, or just let it go, like almost forever, because my kids are not, we're not living anywhere near my marae. They're not going to have that constant physical, you know, presence at their marae, and I just want them to have some kind of connection to our culture. So that's the choice.
Well, it's an amazing, I think it is an amazing song, because as you say, it's not a topic you can really sum up in 3 minutes.
No.
But somehow you open the door to that in a way that I think people will find very relatable and also find very much accessible as well, like understanding those things. So thank you for writing it. It's
and
incredible.
Actually, the one other thing I'd like to say about this song is that at the end, I'm saying he kākano aho, e kore au engaro, and I think the song kind of talks about how difficult the journey is, and there's like layers of shame and all of that, but ultimately it's our right as Māori to be in those classes, to make the mistakes, to like just do whatever we need to do it, or if we don't have the capacity to do it, it doesn't take away from our Māori tanga. So you know, that's kind of the other point of the song, is like, it's really hard, and hey, if you can't do it, doesn't matter, you're still Māori.
Hard out. Hey, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. I am just going to run through some of the other music events that are happening, because I know there's a lot of amazing BFM-related sort of bands going on here. We were talking off-air before about Railland, which is Anthony Tonin at MoTat performing on the trams. It's going to be just a wonderful time. Reb Fountain is going to be playing with the Black Quartet. They're going to be presenting The Boy Next Door. There is Moana Maniapoto evening as well. There's going to be a K-pop party, which is heaps of fun. Julia Dean's, French for Rabbits. One that I know a lot of people have been extremely excited for, because they've been texting in about it, is Shefu, which I think is going to be a huge one. Yep. Shefu and the Crates, Return of the Navigator, big anniversary celebration of that. Astaire's going to be performing. There is a wonderful collection of artists performing for Hine as well. And the list really truly does go on. It's amazing, and it's all up online if people want to find out more. All the booklets will be around town, Shona, is that right?
Yeah, they will be, and it's... I should have mentioned that the overarching theme of the festival is araha, and there's three sub-genres, araha ki te tangata, so love, compassion and goodwill towards people, feels very timely at this time. Araha ki ngā kōrero, so love of our stories, and there's a really big feature on the Polynesian Panthers 50th anniversary, which I'm totally stoked about. And araha ki te tāo, so love of our environment and care of the water and the land that we love so much, and we're so blessed to be here in Aotearoa.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both so much, Shona McCullough and Anna Coddington, for coming into the studio. Anna, we are going to listen to Night Class now. If people want to get Beams, where's the best place for them to go?
Probably Bandcamp, or just stream it up on your regular streaming platform.
Excellent stuff. Thank you both so much.
Thanks.
Happy birthday, babe. Here's a hand over your mouth. Mother's tongue, father's lung. Flavor. take a night class, pick the fingers from in between your teeth. You can't expect a leaf to grow. So take a night class, it's a big ask to reshape the tree. And I don't expect
a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.